irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle right here on LA Talk Radio.
Boy, are you ever.
Boy, are you.
Yeah.
You are wearing a baseball hat.
I am.
I have known you since Christ was an altar boy.
Oh,
and I've
my.
Never seen you in a baseball hat.
Really?
What is that?
I've never worn one here.
You've never worn one here?
It's when I don't have enough time to change.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And get right. here on
right.
time.
I can't
you know,
wear...
Because I'm always flying by the seat of my pants, aren't I?
I can't wear a baseball hat. Never could.
You can't?
No, I can't. No, with this nose? Are you kidding? I just wear it. I look like a cockatiel. I need the offsetting swoosh of hair.
Oh, yeah.
That would, the goal is if I walk into a wall, the hair has to hit the wall before the nose does. The nose offsetting swoosh. And as you can hear, it matters far too much to me.
Take a sip of that cocktail.
I do.
Listen, let's just jump right into this. We've got such a jam-packed
we
show.
We do.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California, and we are grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support, I should say, to our live arts calendar.
And as I said, jam-packed today, Paul, we have three insanely talented directors of theater here in SoCal and elsewhere. In studio, we have the gorgeous Mandy Kaplan, who will be talking about her hit series of cabaret shows in L.A., Miscast, Right Singer, Wrong Song, getting ready to hit my stage at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal in North Hollywood. Welcome, Mandy.
Thank you.
How are you, Mandy?
I'm wonderful. You better call Barry gorgeous or he's going to get mad.
Oh, well, we'll
and Mandy's
see what
going
we
have. As long notice? As I know it. That's the important thing.
Mandy's going shoeless. Did you notice?
He's wearing a baseball cap. I'm wearing no shoes.
No shoes.
Very and great. Barry took his pants off.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just jump in.
It's Pantsless Thursday.
That's right.
That would actually, your name is a great Barry Pearl.
Yes,
yeah,
like
Bocce. Balls,
you know? And it's real. It's my own name.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. Yes,
well, that's who he is. Barry Pearl is with us to discuss his current outing with the Robert Jason Brown musical 13 coming up at the El Portal Theater in North Hollywood. Say hello to Barry, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello, everybody.
Hey,
Andy,
Barry.
Michael, Paul.
And last but certainly not least, in just a few minutes, we'll be speaking with Randy Brenner via telephone about his pistol-hot production of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Is it via or via? I never know.
Well, now that you put that out there, I would say either.
Call in if you know if it's via or via.
It's probably via.
I smell a Cole Porter number coming.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that what that smell was?
Oh, my goodness. Let me get back to Randy's
that was my pants having come off.
Cole Porter.
We're on the radio.
We are.
Yes, irreverent. You said irreverent.
That's it. Hot production of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, burning it up out at the Glendale Center Theater. But before we speak to Randy, Mandy, and Barry, in that somewhere.
Three of the lesser-known dwarfs, Randy, Mandy, and Barry.
Paul, I'd like to hear about your night last night at the Grammy Museum, seeing our friend Fred Willard in Celebrity Autobiography.
Oh, that, and I was at another place called Tattoos Against Your Will in West Hollywood. But that's a whole other story.
That's another show.
Yes, yes. You've been there, Tattoos Against Your Will?
Can't say I have.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah, have the fish and chips.
Oh.
Celebrity Autobiography was amazing. And I don't know if either of you, Amanda Barry, are familiar with this. Celebrities go up and they read other celebrities' autobiographies like dead on serious. And it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen. Last night was the musical version at the Grammy Museum. And the lineup, killer. Fred Willard, Lorraine Newman, Stephen Weber, Debbie Harry, Kristen Johnson, just unbelievable. I know I'm overlooking some people, but very, very, very funny, very, very clever, and just perfect comic economy. One of those things where I don't want to say anyone was better than anyone else because it's all sort of fly by the seat of the pants thing, but it always seems to me that the smaller you get with stuff like that, the funnier it is. Mm. And on that yardstick, Debbie Harry reading Hedy Lamarr's autobiography from the 40s. weep-inducingly funny.
Really?
Howling. And Monica's just, and I'm laughing, and my Monica's laughing.
Of course.
And the whole time Monica's like, I'm laughing, but I'm also 18 feet from Debbie Harry.
Yeah.
It was far more important to her. But it was a real blast, Michael. Highly recommended, celebrityautobiography.com. They've done it all over the place. When it comes to your hometown, check it out. Highly
yeah,
recommend.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I had the pleasure of getting open Sideshow for 3D Theatricals last weekend. Stunning, stunning revival. Quite spectacular. I think they've actually outdone almost anything they've ever done
really?
To date with this show.
Really?
It is
wow.
a very dark show, but it is a brilliant piece of theater.
It's so, one of those risky, that's a risky premise
yes,
for
it
a
is.
Musical.
But
you know?
The Orange County Register newspaper wrote a major love letter yesterday about the show, which was over the moon. So
and it was a stunning production. I was there. I saw you.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Fabulous.
Oh, you
yeah,
saw it as well,
yes. yes.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get down to business here.
Let's
because
do that.
Certainly. We need to, because he's on the telephone with us. And ladies and gentlemen, among his many, many credits, our first guest's directorial credits include White Christmas at the Norris Center for the Performing Arts in Palos Verdes, California, and Man of La Mancha at the Glendale Center Theater, where he currently has on stage Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, as I said earlier. He has returned with this production, which is has music and lyrics by David Yazbek and a book by Jeffrey Lane, and starring the uber-talented Mark Ginsberg, the always sensational Christopher Carruthers and the one and only Justin Michael Wilcox in a tour de force performance long to be remembered, I assure you. Please welcome the brains behind this beautiful bunch of hooligans, Randy Brenner.
Randy's here.
Thank you. Hey, hi.
Yes. Hey, Randy.
How are you?
I'm still reeling in your show from last night when I saw
it. Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you.
I saw it last week as well.
Enjoying it a lot.
I'm sorry, what did you say, Mandy? You saw
I saw it last week. It's extraordinary.
Am I the only person?
Thank you.
I'm
Rick.
The only person who hasn't seen Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
I haven't seen it. I really don't like Randy Brenner's work. And so I, Randy, we're working together, booby. We're finally working together.
I know, finally. Finally. Can you believe it? Even though I'm not there to actually touch you.
Well, we'll do that later.
I'll do it.
All of us have touched him so far, Randy.
It's that kind of day. He shows up. He brings lotion. What are you supposed to do? Randy, what are you? Did you say earlier when we connected that you're calling us from a boat? You're on a ship of some sort?
I am actually on one of the decks of the Queen Mary, so if it's a little difficult to hear me, I apologize. I just had a meeting here for something, and it would never have gotten me to your studio on time, so I'm on a deck at the Queen Mary, exactly.
This could be
are you
first.
In a lounge chair on the deck?
Oh. No, I wish I was. I'm actually just standing outside the gift shop. It was the best place for reception. So
they said you were a fool to dream, Randy.
Makes you seem much more important than Barry and myself.
No.
Randy, for those of our listeners who have not seen Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, your production or any other production, give our listeners a little synopsis of what this is about, because it's true hilarity.
It's about two con men who come together, one very rich and wealthy and savvy, and the other literally just off the street, and they find that both of their gangs work together well, and they try to con a certain woman who is known as the Soap Queen, who is a very wealthy, wealthy woman. They try to scam her, and to be honest, if I tell you any more, it'll give away a big surprise toward the end of the show.
But it's
hysterically funny. It's based on the original movie was Bedtime Story with David Niven's and Shirley Jones, and I think Marlon Brando, and then the film Dirty Rotten Scoundrels with Michael Caine and Steve Martin.
Oh, yes. That was my question. Is it, of those two source pieces, is it closer to one than the other, or sort of a hybrid of both?
Yeah, it's closer to the Michael Caine, Steve Martin film than it is to the original Bedtime Story, but both have elements in it that are pretty much consistent through that and the musical, too.
Okay.
And it's very funny.
I don't have any promotional material for Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Yes, you do. It's actually in the script.
It's in the script?
Yeah, if you go back to where we are.
Oh, okay. That's a new thing, though. Don't throw me, Michael. 250 shows, you throw me a wild card.
Randy, I want to give a special shout-out to the two females in the show.
Yes.
Your two co-leads, Andrea, is it Arvanigan? Is that how you say that name?
Arvaginian.
Oh, Arvaginian, okay.
Yeah.
And Tiffany La Barbera Palmer?
Yes, they're fantastic.
They are. Yes, they are. Very stylized and beautiful voices. And
right.
Just...
And great to work with, too, and a lot of fun.
Yeah, as is the entire company, I might add. And your dancers are fantastic. Choreography by Orlando Alexander. And your musical director by Stephen Appleby.
Talented and easy to work with, and I really lucked out with this. I mean, everybody that I wanted to get, I got for this, which was very exciting. And pretty much each person who came in and auditioned, the moment they auditioned, they got the part because they nailed it. They were really terrific.
And that is usually...
Didn't have to sleep with you like other shows that have...
Yes, but we won't talk about that.
Well, that was all right. That was for the callback.
I'm very busy during the audition process.
That's why I'm not in Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Nor am I.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Your time will come.
Yeah.
What's even worse is I got called back, and then I... one of the things, too, about the Glenn, not so much related to the show, but related to the production and the whole evening, not the show, but the evening, the great thing about Glendale Center Theater, and Michael will attest to this, too, you could probably even name the places. It's one of those few places we have in Los Angeles where you go to one location, you can park, you can walk to dinner beforehand, you can, and you always pitch the evening in addition to the show. And that's one reason. It's a beautiful venue there. It's incredibly well supported by the community out there.
Yes, it is. And what Randy is doing is bringing to this venue contemporary musical theater that does not usually occur at the venue. They go for the bigger titles that
more
are
classic,
on Broadway, but it's also bringing in a younger audience, thanks to you and doing this. So I hope you bring more of
these things. We are. I mean, they started pretty much a theater going there every night, and because of the success of this show, we actually I just got word that they may bring it to their main stage production and bring it back to see what happens.
Oh, wow.
Fantastic.
But, the other thing to mention about this theater, which isn't a lot of happening in California, is it's in the round.
Yes.
There's very few in the round theaters, and that I grew up with in the round theaters. I grew up in Philadelphia, and there was Playhouse in the Park and Valley Forge Music Fair, and most of the musicals I saw when I was a kid growing up in the early 1700s was literally in the round. And so it's so nice to go do that kind of venue because it's exciting. It's different. You have to think outside of the box. And I love it. I actually love
and,
it.
And as a director, that is a Herculean task to do. And you did it very, very well.
It is.
So inventive, Randy. Yeah. Your staging and
Thank
your use
you.
Of props and sets was just wonderful.
And,
Thank you. It's fun. It is challenging, but it's a lot of fun, I have to tell you.
And that Justin Michael Wilcox has plenty of his own ideas here that he ran with, I'm sure.
He is literally one of the most fearless actors I have ever worked with. I mean, I could ask him to do anything, and he would do it and add to it. So he's just, actually all of them are a joy, but he is, I can imagine, working with him to me would, I imagine, be like if you work with Robin Williams, because his mind doesn't stop.
Wow. Yeah, he's a genius.
Exactly. Yes, he is.
Such a tour de force, really.
Well, for people to be able to see this fabulous production, there are four performances left, ladies and gentlemen. Glendale Center Theater, as Paul said. And to purchase tickets, you simply go to their website, which is GlendaleCenterTheater.com. Both the word center and theater are spelled with the R-E at the end.
Yes.
Or by calling,
classy way.
Yes, or by calling 818-244-8481 for further information. And four performances between Sunday, May 3rd, through Wednesday, May 6th.
Randy, thank you so much for joining us on the air. We're going to get to the two that we have here in studio with us, our next two guests here. But we're very grateful you took the time to spend some time with us.
Absolutely.
My pleasure. Thank you so much. And I wish I could be there with you guys. And I can't wait to... Mandy, I can't wait to see your shows. I've heard nothing but fantastic things about it. And Barry, I will see you soon, I'm sure.
Yes, indeed. Come to see 13. Come to see 13 at the
El Patron. I know. I love that musical. I can't wait to see it.
Great.
All right. Thank you, Randy.
Take care, Randy.
Thank you.
Bye, Randy.
Bye now. What a nice guy.
Lovely
man. Oh, he's sweet.
Nice I didn't think so. No.
No?
No.
Yeah. No, I saw you were rolling your
eyes.
We'll
talk about it later. Yeah.
But just read the cards.
Wait, I got to put my pants back on.
Now he puts
well,
what, his pants.
Here's a perfect segue. Described at age 7 as bossy, our next guest began her career by choreographing elaborate Olivia Olivia Reviews.
Olivia Newton-John.
Yeah.
Choreographing elaborate Olivia Newton-John reviews to the music of Olivia Newton-John and forcing her friend Tara to perform them for their parents and siblings. After many years of successful living room runs and wanting to go out on top, she retired from directing and in the years that followed became an actress in theater, film, and television and a star in the fine art of voiceover work, which she successfully continues to do today. For the rest of those in Mandy's world, we're happy to report that she has returned to her first love, directing and bossing people around and making them perform. Now in its fourth year, her series of cabaret concerts titled Miscast, Right Singer, Wrong Song, has featured over 160 iconic songs sung by more than 25 brilliant yet inappropriate singers, all for proceeds to benefit Project Angel Food in Los Angeles. Her next edition of Miscast takes the stage at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal, heard of that joint, Sunday, May 17th. Please welcome the indefatigable Mandy Kaplan, and I have no cursor to hit my applause button. Now I do.
There you go.
Thank you. Indefatigable is so much nicer than bossy.
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
And after that, by that intro, we're out of time.
Yeah. But I didn't know it was going to be read in its entirety.
No, it's a great
Dear diary.
That wasn't its entirety.
Okay. So
you wrote twice that much.
Miscast was all over the place. It was in different locations in town. It was at the Mint. Now you found your home.
Yes.
Was there a causal event that was the inspiration for Miscast? Do you remember the time when you decided
yes.
to do it?
Yes.
What was it?
I had a baby, and I was depressed.
Ah.
And I, wow, what a downer. And I was not performing anymore. I was not being creative anymore. Thank you.
Wait, let me put my pants back on.
Yeah, sorry, Barry.
Speaking of downers. Whoa!
And I was looking to perform, and as we have discussed, it's difficult to do like a one-woman show, and I don't know that anybody wants to watch just me for an hour, but I thought if I could put together a bunch of misfits, as people often call my show incorrectly, then we could all each do a song and make a great night of it, raise money for charity. I could get to scratch the itch, get back on stage, perform, direct. I choreograph all the numbers. But I didn't want it to become self-indulgent, so I didn't want people just getting up and doing the Baker's Wife Meadowlark for 20 minutes. So I said, you have to sing a song for which you are the wrong race, gender, age, type, skill set. And Miscast was born.
Wow. It's just such a great idea. And I would imagine that there are times, especially for people who aren't musical theater savvy, that don't really know the architecture of the show, like where the song falls within a show. Are there times that people do not know that that is an inappropriate song for that person, or is it always very obvious?
I have learned since moving to LA that LA audiences are less familiar with musicals than New York audiences, so each actor introduces their song. They might state outright, like, this is sung by an elderly black woman, and then go for it so that the joke makes sense.
Right.
But also, beyond just miscasting, I really enjoy doing high-concept jokes with the songs. So they're done in ways we've never seen them done. There's always something going on, lots of surprises. So even if you're utterly unfamiliar with musicals, you are not left out. It's very inclusive of everyone.
Yeah. And in terms of the things that normally go on at Michael's Club, and I'm
gonna say, your part.
there's a wrong way to phrase it. The sort of elegant supper club nature of Michael's place has a little bit of the air taken out of it in your Miscast evenings, right?
We are irreverent.
Irreverent.
And edgy and fun and playful.
Yeah.
And, you know, Michael said, I need bios of all your singers for the program. And I said, sure, they're all going to be lies that I just make up. Is that okay? And he laughed and said, sure.
Yeah.
So it's not, none of us take it too seriously. It's a really fun night, and it's for charity. It's not supposed to change anyone's lives that come to see it.
And speaking of charities, what is the charity that it supports?
Project Angel Food.
Which is?
Their mission is to bring nutritious meals to people who are homebound with AIDS and other disease.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
And I used to volunteer. I actually got fired as a volunteer. Can you believe that?
You got fired as a volunteer?
I used to drive the meals around and deliver to lots of lovely people, and I was always changing my schedule, and they said, you're too difficult.
Oh,
so
wow.
I got fired from driving, but I raise money for them now.
Okay.
Sweet.
And you wouldn't happen to know the website for them off the top?
Projectangelfood.org.
Oh, projectangelfood.org. Yeah. All right.
You know what she does, Paul, and these can, because she choreographs it and she directs them, and she really, you really outdo yourself every single time you come.
I try, thank
yeah,
you.
Yeah, she comes every couple of months and brings in a brand new show, and fabulous things that she did, which just sticks out in my mind so much. Two things, actually, but this one I'll talk about is they did the chorus line, you know, the opening number,
right?
And when all of the dancers are being
the God, I think I get it one,
yeah.
Okay, and
and no one in Miscast is a dancer. Besides me, I'm brilliant.
Of course,
yeah.
as they get cut, it gets down to the wire, right? And there's one kind of heavy set young man that was making it through all the cuts until the very end, and he was the last person to be cut.
He was the only one cut,
oh,
and he threw a fit.
Oh, brilliant. Brilliant.
Yeah.
Like last pick for softball.
Yeah.
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 Oh, that's... That's so wonderfully mean-spirited. I just love that.
Well, and he was such a great actor.
He's hilarious. And, yeah.
Yeah, such a great sense of humor. So.
I see the promotional material for this, and sometimes I see some recurring names. It's
yes.
usually a big difference. But is there a core? Is it your idea? Was it a core of people who came up with it?
No, it's all me.
It's all you.
They're all my minions.
But I
love them all.
But I would imagine they're just like dying to do it like again and again and again.
I'm very lucky. I create an atmosphere that's like summer camp. So okay. I always tell people it's like the last night of summer camp. It's like the talent show. It's just that everybody's really talented. So we don't take it seriously. It's not high pressure. It's not perfection. It's just learn your stuff and let's really have fun. So people want to be in it. And I have a list of 40 or 50 performers, and I only use 10 performers every time, so I'm constantly saying no and rotating and trying new people out, which makes me drunk with power.
You know, was actually, I don't know if you know this, Michael, but I was actually supposed to do Miscast, and I had a conflict, so
and
I couldn't.
What would that have been?
I can't sing or dance. Oh, look at the time.
Now, that's not true, Mr.
That's not true.
I just saw you in Cabrillo Music Theater's production of Mary Poppins.
That's it, yes. My first musical in 25 years. It was a blast. It was
wonderful.
I enjoyed
it. Yes, I did.
Oh, you did?
It's a hot dog party. I came for the hot dogs, basically.
Well, you were there for the hot dog
yes,
party?
Yes, I was.
I didn't know you were there.
Yes, I was there.
Oh, well, yes, I would love to have sent hi. I've seen you in, we'll get to you.
Honestly, God, I'm fine just sitting here with no pants. So I'm really
but see, I'm
cooler.
Not.
Oh, that's the difference between us. This is Mandy's time. Sorry, dude.
God, there's
I'll serve hot dogs if you'll come to Miscast on May 17th.
All right.
Unfortunately,
thing, right?
Yeah. He's speaking euphemisms. Tickets for Miscast, Sunday, May 17th, with dinner and drinks offered at 5:30 p.m. Showtime from 7 o'clock to 8. The tickets are available by visiting brownpapertickets.com or by calling Brown Paper Tickets, 800-838-3000. That's 838-3006. Live operators available. For more information about Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal, visit msapr.net. Is there a website specifically for Miscast as well?
MiscastLA.
MiscastLA.com.
Or follow us on Twitter at MiscastLA.
Okay.
And with regard to Brown Paper Tickets and
yes.
calling them 24/7, Paul, live operators, 24/7.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, for all those times you wake up at 5 a.m. and
well,
go, I got to go
or
see Miscast.
Or getting home at 5 a.m.
Well, I don't know. You know me.
You're an animal, Michael. Gosh.
As long as tattoos against your will is open, I'm there. I got a 5 o'clock license now. There was something I was going to ask you about Miscast. Oh, do you pick, do any of the performers come with their own songs? Do they suggest songs
yes.
to you? Is it decided by committee? Is it all you?
What? I am a committee, and I welcome all suggestions, and then I put the lineup together. I like to honor, if someone's like, I've always loved this song, I'd like to honor that. But sometimes I have 8 ballads suggested or
right.
5 women who want to just be a man, and I don't like to miscast the same way. So there are a lot of pieces of the puzzle.
Okay.
But that's the best part.
Now, you know, she makes an incredible living with her voice.
Yes.
Yes, I do.
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
And you do it daily.
Yes.
Every day.
Yes.
You're working, making the big bucks.
I'm losing money
artist.
Just being here. Yeah.
Well, we thank you for that. But so how did you fall into that, though?
Into voiceover?
Yeah.
I was in New York, and I got an audition for a cartoon show. And I got it. And I didn't know what I was doing. I just happened to get the audition and get the job. And then I was very, very, very lucky. All the agents wanted to sign me, and I started booking commercials and have made a living at it ever since.
And you do it out of your home most
I have
of
a home
time.
Studio, yeah. Yeah. I do, and then I go all over and record all over L.A.
So and your site cool, is wonderful, it? Too. I remember looking at your website. You have a great website.
Do oh, thank you. Yeah. I'm actually just redoing it.
Okay. No, but it's but I
there was a lot of booze on it. That's probably why you
there was
liked
a lot
it.
Of booze?
Yeah.
That's why I liked it.
Yeah. There's something about Mandy.com.
Yeah.
Yeah, but now it's just MandyKaplan.com.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean booze? Booze
as my next question.
The theme of the website was like martinis and I serve VO straight up with a twist.
Photograph that is on our poster has a little bird with a bottle of booze in
his
hand.
Yeah.
I make my mom proud.
One of the cut lines from Song of the South.
She's
There's
also
a bluebird on your shoulder, and he's gassed.
Yeah.
He's also a full-time mom, so I don't know how you find time to do all these amazing things, but you
he's
do.
He's in the car. He's fine.
How old is he?
He'll
window.
Be five in a month.
He'll be yeah, five right. in a month. What is his name?
Casey? Yeah.
Little performer in the making, or no?
Not really.
Really?
No, but sometimes he threatens, but he's...
he threatens?
He does. He'll say, I want to get up on stage, and I'll say, okay, and then he chickens out, but... but we did sing Let It Go for 2 years every day, so...
Did you?
He's warming up.
Well, and Paul, you must come see the show. So this is an open,
yes, well,
invitation.
We were actually talking about this before you got here at 12:59.
But the point is, you got here. Barry and I together.
What I was talking about, as much as I love music, and I do love music, I have to really, really, really love a particular performer to watch one performer sing for an hour. It's just who I am. As you know, I'm fairly high strung and nervous.
Addict,
basically. But that's why Miscast is so up my alley, because it would change at different performers. Yeah. It would be far more appealing to me than... I've seen wonderful shows with individual performers at your club. Really dug it. But that's more my speed.
So you'll come. The dinner time. Before that part of the evening, dinner and drinks is quite high energy by the crowd that Mandy has attracted.
It's
with
a
this
fun
show.
Night.
Yeah,
no, it's a very, very fun night.
Very social.
He means they're all drunk, but
well, but
it's
they're
fun.
They're fun drunk.
Yes,
lovely
yeah.
drunk.
Yeah.
Fun drunk.
Yeah.
No, they're not drunk. They're enjoying themselves.
The fun night is available to you, dear listener, by calling 800-838-3006, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, or you can visit msapr.net. This is, of course, Miscast, Sunday, May 17th. Dinner and drinks starting at 5:30, showtime at 7 o'clock. And still the best deal in town. It's not even... How much does it cost? It's
$20 tickets.
It's nuts. $20 tickets. I can't believe the stuff that is offered in this town where you couldn't even leave your house in New York for that.
Yep. And even a Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, $28 is their top price ticket.
I know.
In
nuts.
The 400-seat
and
theater.
So worth it. So nuts. Great.
Absolutely.
Great space.
Thank you, Mandy. Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, started directing in 1970 with the St. Louis Muni Opera's production of Oliver, starring Sid Caesar and Karen Morrow. Other directorial assignments include three of L.A.'s very successful improvisation sketch comedy troupes for actors Ali Repp, recent productions of Grease, the musical, with which he is most familiar, having co-starred as Judy in the much-loved movie musical of Grease. As an actor, he has appeared on Broadway in the original production of Bye Bye Birdie, other Broadway and regional credits, The Producers, Baby It's You, which I certainly saw, the national tour of Happy Days the Musical, which I saw, the musical Anything Goes, Hairspray, and the NAACP award-winning production of 12 Angry Men at the Pasadena Playhouse. Most recently, he appeared in the hit Los Angeles musical Serrano, I should say, right?
Serrano. Yes, Serrano.
I always say that wrong. But it is based on
Serrano, correct.
Track, mm-hmm. And a complete send-up of that.
Yes.
In hilarious, I loved it. And now back wearing his director's hat, he brings Jason Robert Brown's 13, the musical, May 8th and 9th to the historic El Portal Theater in the NoHo Arts District of North Hollywood, right across the street from the Federal. Please welcome the super talented and always animated Barry Pearl.
There he is.
Thank you. Thank you,
Barry.
Little Roger Dalton.
Yeah, just a little bit.
I love the Who.
Yeah, Barry. I guess I saw you in a couple of things, and I was just so impressed with your work. I saw Serrano at Michael's suggestion. He came. He talked about it on the show. I saw you in that. But one of the things I really wanted to thank you for on the air that I really appreciated your performance in was the Pasadena Playhouse 12 Angry Men. One of my oldest friends in the world was in the cast with you, Scott Lowell.
Oh yes, who's having wonderful success in the Elephant Man.
Yes, on Bradley Broadway. Cooper. And
if you want to be next to any star at this point in your career, Bradley Cooper
is
the guy.
That's where to hitch your wagon.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
And congratulations.
Well, I mean, the word on the street is that
they're going to go to London.
But it was Bradley Cooper's insistence that the cast remain intact.
That's great.
He would go to London.
Bless him.
Yeah.
So 12 Angry Men with Scott.
12 Angry Men with you in that. And it's so, in a show like that, it's really hard for, with the exception of the juror, the primary oppositional juror, I don't remember the number. Juror number three.
Mm-hmm. Played by the wonderfully talented Greg North.
Yes, which is the original, it's the Lee J. Cobb role.
It's the Lee Cobb role, the George Scott role.
The George C. Scott role, mm-hmm. Yeah. And, for the other jurors to stand out is really sort of a dance in subtlety, and because you don't want to have, be showy or showcasey. And I just remember you truly standing out as a wonderfully understated performance, even though you're the baseball guy and a little
right.
more animated. But that the planets were in alignment with that cast. That was a very powerful production.
It was a gift to do the show and to be at those rehearsals and have the kinds of conversations that we were able to have. That I've always wanted to have. For your listeners, it was six black men and six white men. And so that element, which Sheldon Epps, the director, brought to it, provided for some incredible work on everybody's part. And the rehearsal process was just so wonderful to be able to explore in the fashion and to be able to talk the way we're able to talk from our heart to each other.
Right.
Was transformative.
So charged. And it was pin drop theater.
I'm
just,
sure.
Just yeah. moments there where it's just like, collective exhale. And just it was really, really wonderful.
Thank you.
I would imagine distinctly, but I don't, in all honesty, I don't know 13 at all. Can you give our listeners kind of a
sure.
breakdown of
13? The music was written by Jason Robert Brown, an idea that I believe that he had, and took it to Dan Ellish and then subsequently Robert Horn, who co-wrote the book. About our hero Evan Goldman, who is planning his bar mitzvah and the bar mitzvah party, hails from New York and is suddenly, literally overnight, displaced because his parents have divorced and his mother moves them to Appleton, Indiana. And here he now has to endear himself to a whole new group of kids who are coming of age and get them all to come to his party. And in meeting all these kids, there is the bully who has sway over everybody, whether they're going to come to his party or not.
Okay.
And his next-door neighbor, Patrice, played by the lovely Carly Shukir, and Evan, played by Sam Herbert, he befriends her, and she's kind of the geek, and he also befriends Archie, who is crippled and is also not very well taken to by the group. Sam Herbert plays Evan. Sam Thacker plays Archie. So he befriends these three geeks, and now he's got to overcome his association with them in order to continue to endear himself to the bullies and the cute girl,
okay.
and them all trying to come together and not alienating himself in so doing, so that they'd all come to the party. Basically, that's the thrust. And the music, Jason's music, is incredible. Again, a coming of age piece.
Right.
Terrific for all the family, not just the kids that are of that age, but the adults as well, because there's, as they say at the end of the show, there's plenty of homework for all of us to do, and the right. messages here are very strong and very real.
It sounds like there's a lot of themes at
yes,
work here.
Indeed.
You have social and
peer pressure
familial,
and
yeah.
bullying and
yeah.
such.
Wow.
And acceptance and tolerance and all that. That
and thing. This is at the El Portal on the main stage or
yes,
in the
on, the main stage.
Yeah.
We had run it for two weekends at the Hillcrest Center for the Arts out in Thousand Oaks.
That's where we rehearsed Mary Poppins.
That's where we were right next door to each other.
Oh,
when
okay.
You guys were going through that virus. We were going through the virus as well.
You got all the Poppins flu, too?
Yes, the Poppins flu we got, indeed. Well, were you there for the pajama party when we came into the pajama party and watched you guys do Step in Time?
No, I wasn't there that
You weren't
night.
There that
No,
day.
I wasn't there that
And
night.
My good friend Michael Scott Harris, who constantly beats me at poker every Monday night.
Michael Scott Harris, who played Mr. Banks.
And he was terrific.
He's who I have my scene with.
Yes. Yeah, terrific production, by the way, Mary Poppins. Just wonderful. Lewis Wilkenfeld is, that's like my second home there. Anyhow, so they decided to move the piece for a whopping two nights into the big main stage there at the El Portal.
It's a gorgeous room.
It is. I was part of a group that actually put that entire space together. The
really?
Actors Alley. Yes. We had moved in there and put that theater inside the theater, which is a little odd, but there you have it. It has existed there all this
the theater
time.
Inside the theater.
There's a little black box theater in the lobby of that big theater.
The Forum. The Monroe. The Forum. What they call the Monroe Forum now.
Exactly.
Yeah, right.
But we're going to be in the big stage, the 8th and the 9th, and we're so excited. We're hoping maybe we get a buzz so we might be able to move it elsewhere beyond that as well.
Wow.
Kids are very excited.
How large is the cast?
The cast was written for 13 kids. We have 19 kids.
Uh-huh.
And they're all so amazingly talented. These are kids you like to pinch cheeks and bite cheeks, and just they love being at rehearsal. They don't want to leave. They love being at the show. These are up and comers. These kids, they're the stars of tomorrow. Pardon me for coining a cliche. Using a cliche.
But it also made Broadway history as the only show to feature an exclusively teenage cast.
Yes.
Because I remember one of the, speaking of teenage casts, one of the best shows I ever saw, and I just found the album recently online, 1978-79 was a play called Runaways.
Oh, yes.
That Elizabeth Swatos wrote. And I remember being, it was 3 years before I graduated high school, but seeing that production, and that affected me so much. Mm-hmm. It was just so, I know I could be one of those.
Yeah, you bet.
And it wasn't just in a performance thing. It was the subject matter. They were talking about family problems.
Right.
This sounds obviously significantly lighter than Runaways was. Not to diminish,
But still, there are problems.
Problems are still there.
Need to be addressed. And you're right. It ran, I want to say, for 107 performances. Didn't have the kind of longevity that it should based on how wonderful this music is and all these great performances. Graham Phillips, who originated the role of Evan Harris, who plays Juliana Margulies' son on The Good Wife. Mm-hmm. Wonderfully talented guy. And Liz Gillis and Ariana Grande came from that group. I think it probably didn't have as long a run because people thought, they're kids. Why do adults want to go and see kids perform? Let me tell you, there's plenty to learn from this show.
But the other thing, too, is that has never held any water for me in terms of how long it runs because there's so many different factors. What was a great example of that? Parade.
Mm-hmm.
Parade is great examples of that. That maybe it didn't something whether it was the marketplace or whatever just wasn't in alignment.
Right.
And then it goes on tour and people it finally gets the adulation.
Well, Sideshow is very similar.
Yeah,
I think
exactly.
One of the problems there was do people want to come and see that kind of story? Well, let me tell you, it's a powerful story, I think that T.J. Dawson has done an amazing job with this production.
Yes, and the messages are all there too.
Absolutely.
And acceptance and all of that.
All of that. All of that.
I wanted to ask you with regard to 13. As I recall, there's a big water feature in the show, isn't there?
A
water feature.
Water
in the show?
Feature.
Yeah. I recall. Wasn't it at the? Where did it play here in Los Angeles?
At the Taper.
At the Taper.
Yes.
Wasn't there a large representing kind of a river or something like that? That they.
I don't know. I've not ever seen that set. I mean, in the song "Lamest Place in the World," I believe the character of Patrice in the song talks about 40 miles. There's a river and such. I don't know whether that was part of the scenic design.
I'm not sure, but I remember the production photos featuring it, and it looked so amazing that they could do that at the Taper.
I believe on stage there were a lot of projections. Having not seen the Taper production, not wanting to be influenced really by a lot of that stuff, too, you know.
Well, it sounds fantastic.
Oh, it is.
Right?
And everybody's having
And where did
such
you get
time.
The kids? Just an open call?
We auditioned them out. There's an amazing talent pool out there in Thousand Oaks.
Yeah.
Some kids from the Valley. these kids are non-union kids. they're non-equity kids. There might be a SAG-AFTRA kid in there. I'm not certain. I think some do commercials and such. But it's a non-union group of kids. Listen, we were all non-union at one time and had the talent, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
You know, where did that come from? How to sing and dance before we learned how to sing and dance?
And you spoke of the talent pool in Thousand Oaks. We heard
Amazing.
This all the time with the production of Mary Poppins that we did. Everyone was convinced, it was this tour that came through.
No.
100% local hire.
That's right. You have three contracts out there, sometimes four, and the rest is local hire. They have an amazing talent pool out in that area.
Yeah. No, that was
very fortunate. We were very fortunate. Because quite honestly, the turnout we would have liked to have had, we didn't. We had a smaller turnout than we would have liked. So we were very fortunate to get the kids that we did. Usually you want to cast about three deep, a first, second, third choice. And in many respects, we did not have those and got real lucky with the kids saying yes. And we dealt with some conflicts in terms of rehearsals and such. You always do. But we made it.
That's just it. It's not how many show up. It's who shows up.
Yeah, exactly.
Barry, when you had your first job on Broadway in Bye Bye Birdie, did you know then that you, obviously you were a performer and you knew you wanted to perform, but did you know that you wanted to direct at some point?
That started a couple of years before the 1970 production of Oliver, having directed Oliver at St. Louis Muni. I come from Lancaster, Pennsylvania, and I was always active in my mom enrolled me in dance classes, and from there I got involved in community theater and then did a semi-professional production of Dark at the Top of the Stairs, in which this guy Chuck Miller, who was an aspiring playwright who was jobbed in to run lights, said to my mom and me one day, "I'm going to get your son on Broadway." And 2 years later, 61, he happened to be friendly with Edward Padula's secretary. Padula produced Bye Bye Birdie. Johnny Borden, who was playing Randolph McAfee, was leaving to do Milk and Honey with Molly Picon. And they were looking for a kid. And Chuck said to this guy, Bob Fagan, who was Padula's secretary, "I got the kid." Calls my mom in Pennsylvania. Next thing you know, I'm on a train going to New York, and I never went home.
Wow.
From Bye Bye Birdie to Oliver, and stayed in New York, went to professional children's school. But in the, I would say the late 60s, or no, mid-60s, I was in, had a manager, Muriel Carl, who had a whole stable of kids. And every summer, she would have me direct the kids in a mass audition for Oliver. So the kid playing Oliver, I'd direct him in the Where Is Love number, and then we'd do the Paddington Green scene with me playing the Dodger, and then where he meets Dodger, and then right into Consider Yourself with all the other kids, 15 kids, let's say. We'd audition in mass. The first production we got was for Glenn Jordan at the Kansas City Starlight Theater. Did that with Jules Munchen, I want to say. Second production the following year was a tour for the Pocono Playhouse. The third production was with Jules Munchen again at Dallas Summer Musicals. So the fourth time I auditioned en masse with these kids, I was now like 20 years old. And Glenn Jordan happened to be running the Muni at the time. And, of course, he had worked with me in Kansas a couple of years before that. So he said, "Barry, you're too old to play the Dodger. How would you like to come and co-direct this with Sid Caesar?" And, of course, all the scenes that Fagan, who Sid played, was with the kids. So I wound up directing Sid for the most part. And Karen Morrow played Nancy, who I just saw at your place a couple months ago. So that was how I fell into directing. And then from there, went to college, Carnegie Mellon, but not as a directing major, as a dramat. And so, then it all just fell into place.
So by the time you
did... And I'm bossy like Mandy.
The film... By the time you did the film of Grease, which was 77,
yes,
and which Sid Caesar was also
that's
in,
right.
You had worked with him
we
7 years
together.
Earlier.
Yes, we had indeed.
Wow.
So that was a wonderful reunion.
Wow.
And we also did a, though we didn't see each other on the set, The Munsters' Revenge, which was the first time we saw the Munsters in color with the original cast, Fred Gwynn and Yvonne DiCarlo and Al Lewis. So Sid was in that. I played one of Marilyn's boyfriends that she brings home, and I get scared away. So, we'd worked together three times.
It's a Sid Caesar theme because the first, I mentioned Scott Lowell, the first thing that Scott and I did together in Chicago was Laughter on the 23rd Floor,
there you
which
go.
Is basically the homage to Sid
him.
Caesar.
Yeah, it's in those guys.
Played
absolutely.
By the brilliant Ron Orbach in
yes,
the production.
Indeed.
It was just great.
Yes.
Before we wrap up here, though, I have to ask you, have to tell our listeners, what was it like being in the motion picture Grease and being a co-star?
It was a labor of love. We had no idea that it would become what it became. Mm-hmm. We don't have a a crystal ball. Nobody does right. that tells us that. We just had a great time. And I'd done the stage play. I was played Sonny in right. the national tour. And so we just had a grand time. And we continue to. You know, it's the gift that keeps on giving. Right. And just we're all in touch. And I'm more, in fact, I'm going out this summer again with Joey Travolta, John's brother. Joey has a company called Inclusion Films. We go out and teach film arts to special needs kids all across the country. Wow. And quite a gift on both sides, believe me. So we are all, you know, still interconnected. And it's terrific and a blessing and an honor to have been part of both that phenomenon and the phenomenon that is called Barney the Dinosaur, because I played Professor Tinkerputt. Yeah. And the kids remember me from that, too. So if we're going to leave our mark on the world, I think I may have done that, you know, on two fronts. Yeah. And I've just been blessed, folks, just purely blessed.
That's wonderful. Yeah, that's true.
Which if brought me here today, and this is the best blessing of all to be yeah. sharing microphones with you crazy guys.
Oh, really?
And this gal.
Just keep reading the cards. Now you can say you've met me.
Yes, Mandy Kaplan. I want to do one of your shows, Mandy.
Bring it, Barry.
I don't think we said this. I want to make sure we say this. This 13 is this weekend only. Friday, May 8th, Saturday, May 9th, 8 p.m. Tickets, lportaltheater.com. Theater, once again, is the R-E spelling, lportaltheater.com, or call 818-508-4200 or 866-811-4111, or you can visit the box office right there. And once again, the El Portal, very similar to Glendale Center Theater in Park Once, do the restaurants.
Yep. Federal's right
that
across
no
the street.
Great food at the Federal. And just down the street, I got to say, there's that artisanal sausage place that I absolutely love, just down the street on El Portal.
This isn't Lazy Dog. Not Lazy Dog.
No. Before that,
it's Der Wienerschnitzel.
Little Inlet. Yeah.
No. I think I've heard about
duck
this.
Duck sausage.
Yes,
alligator sausage. And they do their artisanal beers. They have a amber beer that is aged in bourbon casks.
Oh, wow.
And that's a little hug from Jesus, let me just tell you.
Now, let me say, now, you mentioned, well, what about Moses? Where does he step into this? Anyhow, listen, I don't wear baseball caps either, but anytime they offer a gift, I always take the cap, and I look like the cockatiel also.
No, I noticed. I made the nose joke earlier, and I could feel you nodding.
Well, did you feel the nose nodding? May 8th and 9th is not this next weekend. Is it not the weekend after?
It is the following.
It's the following.
I'm sorry. Did I say this weekend?
Yes, you did. I think I'm going to take your seat the next time I come in.
Demerit, Paul. Demerit.
May 8th and 9th.
May 8th and 9th at the El Portal.
May 8th and 9th, May 8th and 9th, May 8th. See, you just got it three more times.
Running out of time, we have to baptize it.
Oh, that's it.
Yes, and a number. Did you give the number to the El Portal? Okay, all right.
I'll do it again before the end of the hour.
That's good.
Mandy, a performance, a mishap, mistake, something that went wrong in performance, some funny onstage disaster from your entire career.
Yes.
Anything that
could
went anything. South. And Barry, if you have one before that, we can go with you first.
Well, I've never made a mistake.
Oh.
But I...
of course not.
No. But the first thing that popped into my mind was when I was a child doing Shakespeare in like summer theater camp. And I, of course, was playing Kate in Taming of the Shrew. And Petruchio is on stage doing a soliloquy, forgets his lines, and goes, anyways. And I just came barreling on stage. I just thought, that's not a good cover.
I'm sorry, I hit the table.
And iambic pentameter, so.
Anyways. Anyways, methinks.
Yeah.
Anyway. Oh, priceless.
And I think I actually got to throw a chair onto the stage before I entered,
and
I threw it right at him. I was so
and it would
blown
make
away.
Perfect sense that that's the role you played at however age you were, because that is Shakespeare's bossiest female role.
Yes, thank
and
you, Paul.
You are bossy.
Thank you for pointing that out.
By your own admission.
Fate's premonition.
Yeah. Yes.
Ah,
Barry.
What
do you got?
Well, my entire career has been a mistake. So there's so many of them. Beside forgetting lines, and my casts will always, you know, rag me on that. And I take it all, you know, I'm good-spirited about it. But I was on tour with the producers, and I was their Uber understudy, and I had just been told that I was going into New York to do it on Broadway for a little while. This is when Stroman was doing the film. So I was standing backstage, which I would always do and watch from the wings occasionally. So this particular time, I was standing backstage left just before Max Bialystok's stage left unit is brought out onto the stage. And I happened to be standing on that unit, on the onstage part of that unit, on stage, and it started moving onto the stage, and the lights are cut. Now, I'm dressed in jeans and a T-shirt, and the only way I tried to go to my right to go out the upstage wing, and I couldn't. I had to go through the set's bathroom door, and in so doing, and people saw me, and I knocked over the water that is part of the scene, and went barreling through. I thought Lou Stadlin was going to have a conniption. And so I got getting caught on stage,
like walking down the up escalator.
Exactly. That's exactly what it was. Exactly what it was.
Oh, yeah. That's hysterical. Michael, would you let people know how to see Miscast? And I will.
Yes.
We'll throw this information out there one more time.
Of course. And that is Miscast is Sunday, May 17th at Sterling's Upstairs at the Federal, and that is in the NoHo Arts District, of course, right across the street from where Barry's production of 13 will be playing soon at the El Portal. And for tickets, simply go to brownpapertickets.com, or you can call Brown Paper Tickets 24/7 800-838-3006 and purchase them over the phone. Live operators at your service. Yeah. 24/7. I think that's amazing.
And right? And so rare these days. 13 opens a week from this weekend. That would be May 8th and May 9th. Tickets at elportaltheater.com. Theater's got the RE spelling. Or 818-508-4200 or 866-811-4111. I don't know how much the El Portal People Theater are there, but hopefully they're there at least 8 to 12 hours a day. But go online. It's just a lot easier.
And there's a code. There's a discount code. The word PANIC. P-A-N-I-C.
Oh, PANIC. Okay. Productions.
All right.
Is the associated.
Just PANIC is the code.
All lowercase?
Yeah. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Doesn't matter. Okay.
And last, ladies and gentlemen, Glendale Center Theater, Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, remaining four performances Sunday, May 3rd through May 6th. Tickets at GlendaleCenterTheater.com or by calling 818-244-8481.
I cannot remember a recent broadcast that we've done that has flown by faster than this one has, and it's
yes.
A testament to both of you.
Two
what a joy it was
today.
Having both
thank
of you,
you
on the air. We're very,
thank
very grateful.
Thank you, Barry. Thank you, Mandy. Thank
and,
you, Paul.
Bye, Randy.
As always, thank you, Randy. And,
thank you, Randy.
Thank you, Michael.
All right. See you on the radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle right here on LA Talk Radio.